Hey, everyone. I'm Amy Standen, Ear Hustle's editor.
And I'm Rahsaan New York Thomas, Ear Hustle producer. And do you believe, Amy, they left us alone to kick off the fundraiser?
We better not blow it, Rahsaan. The stakes are high.
We're going to blow it. We just have to find new jobs, I guess. This is the second Ear Hustle fundraiser I've been here for, and I never knew how much the show relies on listener support.
It really, really does. From now through the end of this season in June, our goal is to reach 1,000 donors.
So, Amy, for folks who donate, should we tell them where that money goes?
Sure. These donations help fund our ongoing work, but also things like getting us into prisons where we've never been before. Like if you enjoyed our episode about the hospice program at CMF, or the ones we've done with the women we've been meeting at the world's largest women's prison, CCWF. And there's also some really cool behind-the-scenes stuff, like developing an Ear Hustle curriculum for high school teachers.
Listener donations support all of that. Plus, this year, supporters will be invited to join us for a virtual party on June 13th, and they get a playlist of songs picked by the team.
And everyone who donates $10 a month or more will get access to Ear Hustle Plus, which is our new subscription service with ad-free episodes and bonus content.
Find out more and donate at earhustlesq.com.
Listener support means so much to us. Thank you. Should we give the mic back to Nigel Nerland now?
Not yet. We just got it.
This episode of Ear Hustle is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I am Angie Yunk, the Human Rights Director of the Heising Simons Foundation. The following episode of Ear Hustle contains language and content that might not be suitable for all listeners. Discretion is advised.
Earlon, I can't believe it. We are back with season 11. Season 11.
Yes, we are. And we've been working.
No kidding.
We got a whole gang of stories coming up this season. And I think we can give listeners a little peek into what we've been plotting on.
Let's definitely do that, but can we save it for the end of the episode?
Of course.
Okay, and before we dive into this one, I want to say something quick about my voice because it is definitely different than it used to be. I think there's a chance this is going to be my voice from here on out.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
I'm glad
hasn't
you
changed.
Think so. Okay, thank you for
I'm
the support.
I'm used to it now already.
All right, thanks, my friend.
You still sound like Nigel to me, and I think our listeners ain't tripping.
All right.
And now, let's jump on in.
I have a lot of dreams of me drowning. Sometimes I feel like I can't breathe. And I'm struggling, and I somehow make myself wake up. I don't like those dreams. And I wonder what they mean. I think about it, like, what the heck is this? And I haven't found the answer to that yet.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor, and this is Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
On today's episode, we're talking about
dreams.
Where would you say your dreams take place?
They can take place anywhere besides behind these walls, you know? I may rest here, I may sleep here, but this is not what I dream of.
Okay, that's what's up.
That is our colleague Rahsaan New York Thomas doing his last yard talk as an incarcerated person at San Quentin State Prison.
New York has since been released from prison after, what, like 20 plus years?
Right, right.
It's great to have him on the outside with us.
Indeed it is.
Can you tell me about the last dream you remember?
Last night I dreamed I was eating a fat-ass double cheeseburger from In-N-Out. I'm a fat boy, yeah. I dreamed. I smelled it, double cheese. I seen the cheese and the sauce dripping off of it. I tasted it and woke up and found out I was in my bunk. And my celly was cooking the soup.
What do your dreams mean to you?
What do my dreams mean to me? I just feel like my dreams are a reminder, you know, that this ain't it.
So, Erlon, did you have any recurring dreams when you were in prison? You know, something that you dreamt over and over again?
I don't know about a recurring dream in prison. I had a recurring dream as a youngster where King Kong chased me and was trying to get at me.
Did you, like, hide under the bed or something?
No, I came around the corner. He was trying to mush me into the sand, you know.
Did you wake up before he got you?
I don't know, but I know I was trying to figure out why was I keep having this dream.
Yeah, I can't answer that one. Well, how about in prison? Do you think being in prison changed the kinds of dreams you had?
Yeah. A lot of them, I think I was kind of powerless in a lot of the dreams, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I think the one dream that I had that probably was the deepest dream was I was in solitary confinement serving, you know, my shoot term. And, mm-hmm. and one of them dreams about 3 a.m. was, you know, my ex-girlfriend when I was younger was like, get a life.
Damn.
I don't know where it came from.
Oh, wow. Wait, was this the first time you were in prison?
Yes, this was when I was a kid. Yeah.
If you had listened to her, you wouldn't have come back a second time. That's a man, she was trying to give you some really important information.
Nah, she could have been saying, get life.
Get a life, I think is what she was
saying. She could have said, get life, because now I got life.
Unfortunately, I lived a very violent life. I was a gang member for 30 years, active, so I was involved in a lot of violence. When I first got arrested, the dreams were me committing violence on people, hurting people. But now that I changed my life, and I don't hurt people, the dreams are now me being injured. The physical violence being done to me.
This is Mike. He heard we were doing an episode on dreams and agreed to come down to the media lab to talk to us.
I was a southerner, Sureño, from Los Angeles County. I had like a shot collar position, so I was kind of at the top of the food chain. When I dropped out, all the friends that I once had, now they consider me their enemy, and they want to hurt me. March 27, 2017, the Mexican Mafia sent an order. Next thing I know, I didn't even know it was coming. 20-something Southerners attacked me from behind. And they stomped me out and stabbed me. I've had dreams where they're chasing me. I've had dreams where they caught me and they're on top of me, beating me up, stabbing me, shooting at me. These dreams that I have, they feel so real. You know, I wake up during the night to use the restroom a lot. I'll be in the middle of a dream and there are 30 Southerners attacking me. And thank God I wake up to go have to go to the bathroom and I get out of that dream. So sometimes that saves the day right there. It really does. But one thing I want to say is they're not all bad dreams. When I'm having a dream, I'm out in the world. I really believe I'm free in that dream. I've lived in numerous houses, but the house that I grew up in from the ages of 5 till 14, that's the only house I dream of. That house means a lot to me. It's where I mostly grew up. For some reason, I want to say to you guys, I feel safe in that house. But actually, because of so much bad stuff happened in that house, I don't know how I could say it. Maybe that's not the word. Maybe safe is not the word, but that house, it's a happy house to me. I had a father, a mother, and a brother. It was 4 of us. So that first house was where we were actually a family, the 4 of us. Even though fucked up shit was going on in there, we still had good times as a family, the 4 of us. I had good times but a lot of bad times too. Because in that house is where I was physically beat by my father from ages 6 to 11. And that's where my dad started shooting me up with heroin at 11, 12. My father was a Vietnam vet, and he brought this heroin addiction home with him from Vietnam. He OD'd December 1st, 2007. We didn't really have a good relationship because of what he did to me. There's dreams that I have with him. We actually are having a good time together and enjoying each other's presence. In those dreams, our relationship is definitely better. Is my father trying to come back to make things right with me? I've thought about that after some of these dreams. Obviously, I don't have the answer because I'm not psychic, but I have wondered about it. I miss him, you know? Those dreams, we have a good time together. Too bad it couldn't have been like that in real life. I wish I could even go back one day and buy the house and go back and live in it. You know? Let my daughter have a room and I'll have a room. So I look forward to the dreams because I know they're going to come of me dreaming about that house.
I'm Zach Morse from San Quentin.
What'd you bring down here with you?
A book I found in the library.
What kind of books do you like best?
Fantasy.
Fantasy?
Science fiction, horror. I love horror.
You don't get scared?
I do, but that's the point, though, I think.
What about dreams? Do you have horror dreams?
Yes. And that's what I kind of look forward to.
Why?
I don't know. They're vivid. Sometimes I'm, like, terrified, but sometimes, like zombies, living dead type stuff, or like an alien will run through the high school. I'll wake up and like, wow, that was really cool, you know?
So they're fun for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Zach is this kind of nerdy, bookish dude.
Yep. He definitely strikes me as one of those D&D fantasy cats.
Absolutely. And I think Zach, maybe more than anyone else we talk to, has kind of made a hobby out of dreaming.
Yep. I mean, a lot of his dreams are almost like video games, like something he does for entertainment.
Do you see yourself in the dreams? Are you part of the terror?
There's different perspectives from mine. Like, sometimes it's first person, sometimes it's third person. Sometimes I die and the dream will move on.
I've always heard you can't die. This is like probably a myth. Like, you can't die in your dream because it would be so shocking that you would actually die in real life.
If you die in a dream, you die in real life.
Well, there was one when, I was climbing a Ferris wheel. It was on fire. I got to the top of it and it tilted and fell. And I died, but the perspective moved to a different person. I don't remember who it was, but like they're like, oh no, Zach died. It just kept going like that, but you know, I wasn't in the picture anymore.
What were your dreams like while you were waiting to come to prison?
I think that whole period was like just really numbing. I do remember like the first couple weeks in reception. I found an egg. The egg hatched. It was a dragon, and it threw a fireball at the wall, and it crumbled, and we flew out. So,
escaping for sure. Do you look forward to dreaming more that you're in prison?
Yes, for sure.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Like why do you look forward to dreaming now?
I mean, I go to work. I go to school. Then I come back to the cell, I watch TV, do my homework, and I read. I'll get nervous or you know, stressed and, like, not talk right. My thoughts might not come across.
But in your dreams, is that different?
Yeah, like, I'm free.
Erlon, did I ever tell you about the lucid dream study I did, like, 20 years ago?
Nigel, you know you never told me this story.
Well, I'm going to lay it on you now.
Lay it on me.
Okay, so this was a long time ago when I was in graduate school, and I used to suffer from nightmares, and I thought like everybody did. And so I found out about this like a research thing that was being done, and they were looking for people who had nightmares in order to teach them how to lucid dream. So I used to have to sleep at this sleep lab on the top floor of this hospital, and they put all these electrodes on me, and I got hypnotized every time before I fell asleep. As a way of getting trained to become a lucid dreamer. And like in a lucid dream, it's like when something's happening and you become aware that you're dreaming and you can change the outcome of your dream. So that's what I was trying to learn to do. And the weird thing was the lab was right above a medical facility for prison. And so at night I'd hear all these people like wailing and yelling. And you think that didn't give me nightmares on its own?
I bet it did.
It was crazy. So during that study, I did learn how to lucid dream, but it's been so long, I'm not really sure I can do it anymore.
Well, I think Zach is someone who's figured out how to do that. Like, get in there, into the dream, and kind of like just take the wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe you'll get to that point, Notch.
I'd like to get back to it.
So how do you recognize that you're in those dreams?
My hands. If I see my hands, I'm like, oh, this is not a dream. Or like, I know I'm in this dream. And that's how like I got to control it, I guess. The next thing you know, I'm like leaping a couple feet. And then the next thing you know, I'm leaping like taller than buildings and stuff. And the next thing you know, I can fly and all this stuff. So.
Oh, wow.
So once you see your hands, automatically you tell yourself, I can add some shit.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the symbol of, I've got control now.
Yeah.
Have a dream ever hurt your heart?
Oh, okay. So, maybe I'll say this and that it'll make sense. There's the scary dreams that I like, right? That I'll wake up like, wow, that was scary. And then there's the nightmares where I wake up and I'm like, nah. I've never met my daughter. And the worst nightmare is I'm chained to the chair and like somebody's trying to like steal her or, you know, hurt her and I can't do anything. That's a scary dream. Because that's what I'm fearful of, you know? I can't protect, you know?
Do you dream about ex-relationships?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Jen, the girl I was with for like 5 years. I keep having dreams about her. Like, we're on a mountain. I'm in a fat suit. She's in a fat suit. It's a game, right? And she has the purple paint. I have the yellow paint. I'm going down one side, and I have to paint the most. She has to do the same, right? On the other side of the mountain. I go first, and then we, like, connect back up, like, oh, we had fun, yada, yada. And then we meet back up again without our fat suits, but with the paint. And I say, I miss you, blah, blah, blah. We ended on bad terms in real life, I guess. But she's like, yeah, I miss you too. And then she leaves. But there's this map that you can see the mountain where we painted. I painted the mountain yellow. Instead of her painting it pink, she painted it yellow. I like to take dreams apart when I wake up. Like, I'm like, you know, is that yellow paint like her wanting, I don't know. Oh, does she miss me in real life?
Can I disturb you guys for an interview for Ear Hustle about the holidays?
Yeah, sure. What's up?
All right.
Okay, so this recording is from, like, months ago. New York and I were over in one of the housing units at San Quentin gathering tape for an upcoming episode.
Yep, about the holidays, right?
Exactly. And people are going to have to wait quite a while to hear that one. But the place was pretty crowded underneath the tier, right? And there are all these guys milling around, waiting to make phone calls or play chess or iron their clothes. And I walked up to this one guy I'd never met before. His name was Lee.
And Earlonne, I don't think you know this guy.
I don't know who I know no more.
So, Lee, I feel like he has a man bun, but I know he also has part of the back of his head shaved because he has this wild M.C. Escher tattoo there. Do you know that artist?
I don't.
So he does these very surreal kind of architectural images. For example, like there'll be all these stairs coming together, but they don't quite come together. And so there's something very dreamlike about them. Perfect tattoo for this guy.
Got you.
How long have you been incarcerated?
About 6.5.
And how do you feel when the holidays come around?
Well, it's almost like I'm living like a double life. I have a lot of dreams in my, you know, when I'm sleeping, of family and friends who are, you know, not part of my life now. So it's almost like when in my dreams, I have another life with them because they're not here in my waking life. So it's like I have a double life.
That's what's up.
Yeah, I mean, we were really intrigued by this. We'd already been thinking about doing a dream episode, but when I met Lee, I was like, oof, we definitely have to do this episode because there's a lot here to explore. So a few weeks later, Lee came down to the media lab to sit down with me in New York so we could talk to him more about his dream life.
And you asked him about those dreams he mentioned that day in North Block, the ones about having visits with his family.
Exactly.
Well, I've had these recurring dreams since county. And the recurring dream is me saying farewell to my family. It's usually at a location that I'm familiar with, so I'm actually on the outside even though I'm behind walls. Like a relative's home or at a restaurant, I'd be saying goodbye to them, but I'm actually just saying goodbye and I'll see you guys next weekend.
Who do you see in these dreams?
You know, siblings, you know, mom and dad, and my mom actually passed away, so she's there a lot. For some reason, my brain makes it think it's possible. And I enjoy that about my brain. It's almost like it's taking care of me. Like, oh, you need to see your family. You need to see your friends. And this is one way to do it. That's what I find amazing about it. That even though it's not very believable, but in the dream, my sense is that it is actually happening.
How long has your mom been gone?
Wow. Like 17 years now.
17 years?
Yeah.
And she's typically in these dreams?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you get to visit with your family, you wake up, it's a good feeling that you got to spend time with them.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's almost like a visit.
In the dream, can you make things happen? Like, can you extend the visit or do specific things with your family?
No, actually, I kind of trust my subconscious at this point because, I mean, there's this thing called lucid dreaming. That's where you have a more conscious level control of content and what happens in the dream. There's a lot of practice involved. It's not like it just happens and, you know, it's like all of a sudden you're playing really great basketball. You have to, like, work at it.
If you had that ability, wouldn't you think it'd be perfect in prison to be able to be a lucid dreamer? When you're sleeping, you could completely control your experience.
I think it would drive you crazy, though, not.
Why?
Because you'll be having these dreams that you're free and that you'll be able to do these things that you can't do in prison. Then you wake up and realize it was a dream. I can't really do none of this stuff. I'm torturing myself. A lot of people break from the outside world in prison because it's too much to be thinking about freedom and freedom's not coming.
But I could also see how it would be a partial relief because at least half, I mean, you spend half of your life sleeping, right?
Sure.
Well, let's ask you, why don't you, if you have the ability to lucid dream, why don't you do it anymore?
Well, like I said, I prefer just regular Jimmy at this point and letting my subconscious, you know, take me where it wants to go. Like, I'll have dreams of having, like, girlfriend and all this, you know, I'm like, I have a job and everything and just having, like, a normal life. It's almost like the missing nutrients in my life. I'm actually happy to have those things for that time. I don't want to know that I'm dreaming.
Well, yeah. If you could have lucid dreams and at night have all those things be there, why not do it?
Because unconsciously I know I don't have those things. So I'm making it appear.
Okay, yeah. So when you're having your dream that's not lucid, you feel like it's real.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and if you had a lucid dream,
right.
You'd be in my lucid dream being like, this isn't real, I only have it.
Yeah. At that point, I'm the mastermind, and I don't want to be the person who is creating as opposed to the audience enjoying the movie. I don't want to know, like, at the back of my mind that this is all fake and actually it's much worse than this. And this is just a pill that I took, you know? I don't want to know that it's fake at all. I just want to be able to adapt and get through this, you know, whatever 10 years I have left or whatever, 15, I don't know. Yeah.
So what's a dream you've had recently that you could recount for us?
Wow. Okay. So it's almost like this other side of my mind that I have to like recall. It's another state. Like as soon as I close my eyes for like 5 seconds, I'm sure I'll remember. But let me see.
Yeah, take you close your eyes.
Yeah. You can cut this part out, right?
No, I'll edit.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, we edit. But yeah.
Okay, so
take your time.
Okay. Yeah. Easily. So, like I said. Okay, this is really strange. This is going to sound really, like, psychic and, like, sixth sense. Okay, the morning we had pancakes for breakfast over here in the chow hall, I had a dream of being in a kind of Google-type company, like a large cafeteria of sorts, and they were serving food. And this is the weird thing. The guy that was serving me is like, what would you like to have? Like, you know, he was actually almost like a waiter, but he's at the window. He's like, what did you want to order? I'm like, what do I want to order? You just give me the food, right? Like, oh, I'm not in prison. So I actually had a chance to order between 4 different things. And I'm like, yeah, let me have this, the omelet, whatever. And he's like, and well, it comes with pancakes. I'm like, okay, good. I'll take the pancakes too. And that was just a strange experience because in prison, you don't get to order food. I actually saw people in high school in that dream too, working in the same company. And they were really proud of me. Like, oh, wow, you got to our company. You're like an employee like us. And they were impressed that they saw me there. So like all these things are really missing in prison, you know. You kind of feed yourself in a way. Your brain does that. Like I said, it's like I'm happy the way my brain is now. It's like it's taking care of me because, you know, prison's not going to do that for you. I mean, this is a rough environment. For some reason, it's easy for me. And I think this is one of the factors is that I am able to take a step away from here. Like every day,
so
when
you're,
I sleep.
You're saying your dreams and your sleep is what helps you do okay in prison?
Yeah, I mean.
Wow, can you talk about that?
There's a lot of options that you just can't take in prison. You know, like, oh, I want to finish a degree or something, or I want to go outside, or I want to. You just don't have these options. They're just not available to you, so you end up getting to a state of like, how do I fill my time? You start to create things that are not there for you. And I guess that maybe that's what's happening in my dreams as well. I start to create things that are not there. It seems like people like discount dreams as, oh, because it's a dream, it's worthless or whatnot. And I want to try to change that narrative and say that they are valuable. It's not something you can control. It's just something that your brain offers to you. I wouldn't take it lightly. This is something that your brain created. You should be, you should hold it, you know, with some reverence.
After the break, more dreams from out on the yard at San Quentin.
You mean the field of dreams?
Yes.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for Ear Hustle comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/earhustle. That's odoo.com/earhustle. Odoo, modern management made simple.
I done dreamed of people running in my cell stabbing me. I done dreamed of COs beating the brakes off me. I have a dream, man, I see my mother in a coffin because I wasn't there to see my mother pass away. When the holidays come around or when a birthday come around, that's when usually that dream will pick up.
I remember having a dream where I was afraid of spending the rest of my life in prison.
What was the dream like? What was the imagery?
It was being trapped. It was being trapped in prison and not being able to get out. It actually woke me up, just that feeling of being trapped.
I believe my dreams are a revelation from God. Sometimes it's not the revelation that I want, you know what I'm saying? But I have to deal with that as truth, and I move on. What's your last dream? Like, what'd you dream last night? Let's talk about it real
last
quick.
Last night? Quick. I can't tell you about her name.
Oh.
Watch out.
That's what's up.
Yeah. No, but not being real.
We right here on Telegraph. It's next to this other interesting spot. The plating works.
You notice up there it says crack owl? You know I love owls. I'm not sure I love a crack owl, though.
Well, it's probably daytime, so the crack owl is gone. Uh-huh. Probably just roam at night.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Good to see you.
Okay, this was the office of ABO Comics.
These are some very cool folks in Oakland who do a bunch of stuff with people in prison, including publishing comic books by incarcerated LGBTQ artists.
Yes, and one of their recent issues was about dreams. So the other day, we went over to their offices where they'd arranged for a couple of those incarcerated artists to call us from prison.
Hi, is Erlene?
Oh, damn. Erlene? No, that's not. It's Erlon.
And Nigel.
My name is Kip Brixton. With ABO.
Your name is what?
Kit Brixton.
Spell it.
A-I-T. B-R-I-X-T-O-N.
Oh, Kit. K-I-T. Oh.
Like kitten. And where are you right now? Can you tell us where you are?
I'm in the most famous prison in the United States, the U.S. Narcotics Farm in Lexington, Kentucky.
I would disagree. I would say the most famous prison would be San Quentin.
I know. I would say San Quentin.
I think that's true.
Or no. What maybe Attica? Maybe Alcatraz.
Or Alcatraz or Attica.
All kinds.
So we wanted to talk to you about dreams. You might know that.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So can you tell us about the first? Well, how long have you been in prison?
Almost 17 years now. So now I kind of just.
This call is from a federal prison.
So what's a dream that stands out to you that you've had?
Oh, I have this repeating dreams of like walking around or exploring areas. Sometimes I'm like kayaking through the Everglades or some kind of place like that. Or I'm at the mall just, you know, shopping and trying on all kinds of different clothes. And of course, a lot of people dream about the food and all-you-can-eat buffets and things like that. Dreams are just kind of the same kind of ideas of shopping and all the choices that, you know, could be there or adventures I could be on, you know, or surfing or being in nature, that kind of thing. Things I don't get to do, you know, on a regular basis anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You ever had a wet dream?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How long were you in prison before that happened?
Oh, God. Probably about 3 years.
Because this is the dream everybody want to just run into, like, just, yeah.
Yeah, and then I started taking meds, and then, like, so then your body does weird things with, the, like, the psych meds and stuff, and it's like, what is going on? I'm 4 years old, you know?
What you mean your body does weird things on psych meds?
So, like, I was taking one, and it was like, you can't have an orgasm or anything, you know, or but then a lot of time in the shower or whatever, you know, to get away. And then it's like, so you just go for a while and then your body just, you know, takes care of itself somehow. And so then you have a wet dream or whatever.
Damn.
Mm. Well, are wet dreams really prevalent in men's prisons, do you think?
I would say no. Depending on what, you know, what your level of privacy is, what's acceptable in your area, those sorts of things. Usually people can find a way to take care of their own self without having to get to nocturnal emissions or something.
Yeah, but you can't really, I mean, I'm not a man, but you can't really control it, can you?
I know if I go 2 weeks or whatever, it's like, it's probably going to happen. Mm. But between then and there, you know, if I take care of things myself, then no problems.
Sounds like no willpower over there, Kit.
Oh,
he said,
man,
if I can make
it to
2 weeks, I'm
true.
Good.
Well, I'm just saying it might be 2 weeks before my body decides to make choices for me.
Yeah.
That was the hardest thing to do, is have a wet dream in prison. That's hard. That's almost like trying to get a release date.
It's all right now because I got my own cell. It's weird when you have to share a cell with other people or whatever.
Mm. All right, I know Nigel, like, come on, let's go to the next subject.
I'm okay with this topic. We haven't talked about this with anybody.
I wonder,
he seems willing.
Do women have wet dreams, too, in prison? That's what I wonder.
I'm guessing they do.
Yeah.
But it's a little
easier
for women.
I'm sure it's probably just a natural part of life. You think of all the options that you don't have, and that's certainly one of them for a lot of us, you know?
I'm a little bit confused because Erlan said it's hard to have them. I would think that your subconscious would just take over and you could have them all the time.
And I don't know about that, because it's in the same way that you're just trying to survive sometimes, like sexuality and those sorts of things really fall to the wayside, right?
Yeah.
If I'm worried about being snuck up on in the middle of the night, the last thing I'm going to be is relaxed enough for my body to do anything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Are you able to control your dreams?
No, very rarely. I remember a while back, I have a frequent dream about going to the beach. The beach is kind of like a spiritual place for me. It's one of those things I really miss, right? Surfing, those sorts of things, and being around the ocean. And I remember being there.
This call is from a federal prison.
The show I watched.
Hold on. Can you start over, because that thing said this is a federal prison.
Sure.
But you was at the beach.
So
though.
I remember being at the beach. Yeah. So and these people are playing like some kind of game, throwing a ping pong into a cup, right? And I was like, well, this is a dream, so I can automatically win, you know. But otherwise, I mean, it's not like a serious thing. It's just something I do. I just want to see where it's going to take me more than I want to be the active director of it. You know what I mean?
That's really interesting. A couple other people that we talked to that were incarcerated said the same thing, that they don't want to control their dreams. They want their creativity to just take over. And I guess I would have assumed that you'd want to, because then you could create a life for yourself. But it's interesting that you're at least the third person to say that. Why do you think that is?
I think for me, it's more that I have to control as much as I can around me. And there's just so much that I can't control, right? So in a dream state, that's one place where I can let go and not have to try to control what's going on around me or if there's any kind of threat that may come or anything like that. When I'm dreaming, it's like I just want to trust myself to see where it's going to take me. It's kind of like putting your music on shuffle and say, well, what kind of song is going to come up next? My subconscious gives me a lot of insights and personal thoughts to think about. It gives me the opportunity to explore those within myself and even a mirror to get a break.
Thank you so much for calling us.
And being articulate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
thank
you
for the opportunity.
And can you introduce yourself one more time?
Nope.
Nope. That was it. Boop, boop, boop.
Check the number and dial again.
Hello.
Hello.
This is a prepaid collect call from...
Taylor Hearns.
Tyler Hearns.
An inmate at Hughes Unit. This call is being recorded and is subject to monitoring. To accept charges, press 1. To refuse charges, press 2. Thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation now.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Nigel and Erlon from Ear Hustle.
Oh, it's nice to talk to you.
You have won a prize. Thanks for calling in.
Taylor is another artist whose work was featured by ABO Comics. She's a trans woman incarcerated at a men's prison in Texas.
I grew up in Redneck, Texas.
Mm.
My dad had a saying that the only thing one man should put in another is a bullet. The only person I ever saw transgender was on Jerry Springer. I came to prison for murder when I was 17. I had 80 years. I hit one of the most violent units in Texas, and the transgenders I saw were the lowest of the low. Those years were terrifying because even though I was making it, I was seeing the people who weren't. I was seeing the people who were getting raped and beaten and stabbed. They were property. They were getting pimped out, extorted. Every time in my mind, I'm thinking, that could be me. That could be me. Mm. I knew I was a girl. And on that unit, girls are the lowest at the bottom. They were considered punks. They were property. They were turnouts. And when I saw those girls, for the first time, I knew that's what I was. And it terrified me. So I ran so far from it. I used to hide in my dreams. When I was dreaming, I wasn't in prison. And there was always a thing I told myself is, if I'm asleep, please don't wake me up. Because while I'm asleep, I'm not in here. It's my only escape from prison. I would oversleep. I would make sure to sleep in, get woke up, just so I could go back to sleep and dream. Because that was my escape. And in the very early days, I was still dreaming of the world. As time passed, things became a mix. It was the world mixed with prison. Eventually, it became everything was prison. Any dream I have now, or the majority of them, I'm here. This is my world.
So when you had those dreams and you were outside and you would wake up and you'd be in prison, was it distressing to you?
Absolutely. I don't think of the world anymore. It's almost as if like, I'll see a commercial or I see a movie and it's just these fake places. It's almost what the world has become to me. It's something I can't touch. It's out the windows, but it's not a part of my life and it's not going to be a part of my life. And I've accepted that because if I don't, it hurts.
But what about in your dreams when they take place outside? Is that hard? Because then you're not in the institution. Your mind is free in some way.
Dreams where like, I'm sleeping, I'm getting away. Like I've had dreams where a tornado tore down a fence and everyone runs out and I'm in the world. I don't know what to do, but I'm free. And then I remember in those dreams, I have a sense of panic because I don't know what to do out there. Almost like if someone landed in a foreign country and they don't speak the language, and it's like an alien place they don't know how to live. I don't know what to do. I let go of everything on the outside. Things work different. People act different. The rules are different. I feel that I don't need to know those things right now. If I ever have the chance to get out, I can learn them again. But I just focused on in here. That way I can do the best I can and thrive in here to the best of my ability. This is all I have. And it's up to me to make the best of it.
So what do you hope you dream about tonight?
I've been having stressful days. I got a lot of haters in here. I've been having a rough period. I would love to have a dream where I'm just carefree and having fun. It wouldn't matter exactly what I was doing, but just in the moment, enjoying myself. That sounds awesome. I would like to have a dream where my mind is carefree. I can smile and be happy.
You have 1 minute left.
I don't want to get cut off without saying goodbye, but thank you so much for talking with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. In the meantime, dream on.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Take care. And thanks again for talking to us.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
The caller has...
Congratulations, E.
Ching, ching.
Yes, we have just finished our first episode of season 11.
Yes.
And we said at the top we're going to give a little preview of what's ahead this season. So let's do that now.
For starters, we got a return of our Catch a Kite episode. Only this time, we're switching it up a bit.
Yep, we've got people at the California Institution for Women answering listeners' questions about life inside a woman's prison. And we're also going to be talking with some trans women who recently moved from a men's prison to California Institution for Women.
Yeah, that new law is causing a lot of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Back at San Quentin, we've got another episode about some old heads who are dealing with all the young cats popping up. You know, San Quentin is changing, and that's hard for some of the old timers.
And speaking of old, we are also going to be looking at how things age with our trash episode. And you know, I'm super excited about this one. You're not getting out of participating.
Hey, you keep roping me into these crazy schemes of yours, Nigel. I think you merging art with what we're doing.
I've always said this is an art project. So just hang with me, okay, partner? Please.
I'm not happy about this. You know I'm not happy about this.
I know you're not. I know. I'm sorry.
I feel like I'm going to be in a museum after this. All that and more coming up in season 11.
Special thanks to Casper and Ollie from ABO Comics. It was definitely fun to hang out with them at their space.
Also, James Carr, Aaron Gilmer, Greg St. Mary, Michael Williams, Vernon Evans, and Lamar C., a.k.a. Shorty, for talking to us out on the yard at San Quentin.
This episode was produced by me, Nigel Poor, Erlon Woods, Amy Standen, and Bruce Wallace.
Along with Neroli Price, Rahsaan New York Thomas, and Tony Tafoya, with help from Rashid Zinnemann.
It was sound designed and engineered by Erlon Woods.
It features music by Antoine Williams, Rashid Zinnemann, and David Jossie.
Amy Standen edits our show. Shubnan Sigmund is our managing producer, and Bruce Wallace is our executive producer.
Thanks to acting warden Oak Smith. And as you know, every episode of Ear Hustle has to be approved by this woman here.
I am Lieutenant Giamare Berry, the public information officer here at San Quentin State Prison, and I approve this episode.
This episode of Ear Hustle was made possible by the Just Trust, working to amplify the voices, vision, and power of communities that are transforming the justice system.
Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter, The Lowdown, where you can learn more about each episode and find out what the Ear Hustle team is up to. Subscribe at earhustlesq.com/newsletter.
That's also where you can find our merch, mugs, sweatshirts, t-shirts, and a lot more cool stuff.
This season, our episode illustrations are coming from guys who are part of the San Quentin Arts Program. Any merch you buy on our website, 25% of the proceeds go to support that program.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. Radiotopia is a collection of independent, listener-supported podcasts.
Some of the best podcasts around. Hear more at radiotopia.fm.
And when we're not in San Quentin, we record at KQED Studios in San Francisco.
I'm Erlon Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Can we also use this on a podcast?
Yeah, no doubt. It's all good. Woo, woo.
Psst, it's Erlon.
And Nigel.
Here again, reminding you to donate to our spring fundraiser today so we can keep bringing you more Ear Hustle.
Everyone who donates will be invited to our virtual party on June 13th. If you've never been, it's a fun time where we talk about the season and answer some of your questions live, uncensored, live.
And I will be on the hologram so y'all can see me.
3D
on Zoom. Every donation, any amount, will help us reach our goal. So please go to earhustlesq.com to learn more and please contribute.
Thank you.
If you can find it in your heart, in your pocket, in your wallet, in the couch.
Radiotopia.
from PNAS.